Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's time for the Come On Radio Station. Ma'am? No. I sent you the number to call. You need to call that number. That's how you talk on it. Didn't you get that number I sent you? Oh, yes, I did. I'm going to try one more time. Hold on. Hello? You're on there. Go ahead.
Yes, good evening. This is Dr. Monica Hanchett. I wanted to come to you with prayer first. Dear my heavenly brothers and sisters in Christ, I need the blood of Jesus that I will be giving this message. I'm starting Genesis and I'm moving around to Matthew, and I just want you to retain everything that I'm trying to give to you coming from God. Genesis 1 and 1. There's been many questions about things in life in reality, like how long has God lived, and What did God call the light he made on the first day of creation? The darkness. What did God do with the water that covered the earth? Name three shining lights God put in the sky on the fourth day. Name some little things God placed. First, in the water. Second, in the air. And last, on the ground. What was the last and greatest thing God created? What did God do after his work was finished? Just follow along with me. From the beginning, there has been a God. Even before there was a world, or the sky, or animals, or people, God was living. For he was the one who made them all, because there was darkness everywhere. God first created or made the light. As his brightness goes through the dark, he was pleased and knew that it was good. He called the light day, but God knew that darkness was needed also. So he allowed some of it to stay and called it night. These God created on the same day, the first day of the creation. On the second day, God created the air that is all around us. When he looked up, as far as we can see, the air seems was blue. And we call this air that God made the sky, or we can call it heaven. Next, God gathered together all the waters to form oceans, rivers, and lakes, and separated them from the dry land. On the dry land, he caused the grass and trees and plants to grow, and it made it green and lovely. As the third day ended, our earth was beginning to look like it does to us now. The sun and moon were created on the fourth day to brighten the day and the night. Even the twinkling star lights were set in place by God's hand in this day. The fifth day, God brought forth living things to fill the water and the air, fish for the seas and birds for the heavens. Then, on the sixth day, more living things were made by him, God. Every sort of animal that lives on the earth, every kind you can imagine. As the sixth and last day of the creation was ending, God made man. The Bible says that he made man in his image, or somewhat like himself. This means that the man was supposed to be higher than the animals and to rule over them. God placed this man in a wonderful world that he had made. For 6 days, God worked to finish his creation. On the seventh day, look at it all, he had made the day with the sun and the night, with the moon, the seas filled with fish, and the air with the birds, the earth covered with plants and animals and every sort, and a man in his own image. And God knew that it was good. He blessed his day and rested from his work. So let's go back and talk about God's creation. God created this earth for us to live and for us to enjoy and enjoy the riches that it have on it. Man came around, as we will speak from chapter 2, from the book of Genesis to Revelation, and he put the pollution here. He put man-made rivers and man-made lakes. And it speaks of this as on the third day ended, our earth was beginning to look like it does now. But we all know that between now and 100 years ago, which was not a long time ago, things have changed since man has come aboard. God said in his own image, and God knew it was good. Yes, the creation that God had did, you know, that he wanted to do was to represent him, for us to look like him, regardless of, you know, what our gender is or what our race is. Okay, he just wanted us to shine our glory for his sake, to his name, because he saw this for you, not Satan. Satan was trying to just corrupt you, take it and make things underground for things that's not of the norm. God placed 7 stars in the sky. Satan took it to Las Vegas and he have you go to Christian counseling with gambling. And then you're drinking and doing drugs, and now he's constantly destroying you, and he uses you up. It's a certain type of way God wants you to leave. It's a certain legacy that he wants you to leave. We all are dealing with this flesh on this earth. Between now and 150 years ago, we have choices. As children, we know so many power of our choices. As children, we probably do not know or recognize that I'm being devoured, even by my parents. You want to know what you have done? No, God is just trying to get you closer to him. And the children don't mean the ones that are 12 years old and older. It can mean this 45-year-old that do know that you have the power of choice, but you're still, God will bless you with that blessing, you're corrupting. So the hedge of protection was taken off of you. Because it's one thing that you have forgotten favor from God, that you will want for one split second, then want it from a lifetime for man. We'll continue on talking about people. In the Adam and Eve days, how they were driven from the Garden of Eden. It was a blessing from God. We all have been there. We'll get our blessings from God. And we all will be tempted. Quadruple the woman, because that's whom he's going to go after, our vulnerability. But when we have got God's word on the inside of us, Satan can't take away from us what we already have. In the book of Matthew, God was tempted after he didn't eat, and Satan knew it. He's watching you. He's going to catch you at your weakness. It's rare that he'll catch you at church. It's rare that he want to catch you praying. He want to catch you when you're fasting. He want to catch you when you're asleep and you got to go, you're on your way to church, and bring those children to your life and start going to church, because that's where your blessing is at. You got to fight harder for it. He's going to fight to destroy you. You need to fight with God's word now. Have your full armor on and fight back. And so people might question, in what way was Adam different from everything else God had made? How did God make Adam's partner? What was her name? Tell about the Garden of Eden. Which tree were Adam and Eve not to eat from? How did the devil fool Eve? How did God punish Adam and Eve? We're going to gravitate in and enlighten you on what God wants you to know about how you can be fooled. But God is a forgiving God. There'll be other blessings that you will get, but that one is taken care of for a lifetime. But more to come. In Genesis 2 and 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thou shalt surely die. On the sixth day of the creation, God made a man from the dust of the ground. He called this man Adam. Now, Adam was different from the rest of the things God had created, because he was made in God's own image. This meant that Adam was somewhat like God himself. Not nearly so good and great and powerful, but more so than any of the other things God had made. Because of this, Adam was higher than animals and able to rule over them. God even let Adam name all the different kinds of animals and birds that he found in his new earth home. Perhaps as Adam searched for animals, naming them, he noticed that all the creatures that lived around him had others of their own kind to be with also. This made him feel alone and lonesome. We know that God did see that Adam needed a helper. So one day he caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep. While Adam was asleep, God took one of his ribs and from it made a woman to be with Adam. When Adam woke up, he was very happy to find the woman. He called her Eve. In a place called Eden, God made it an especial, beautiful garden to be a home for Adam and Eve. Friendly animals of every sort, living in the woods and fields, and birds sang loving songs at the tops of the trees. Four rivers flowed through the garden and caused many different kinds of plants to grow. The most unusual of these plants were two very special trees that stood in the middle of the garden, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It was Adam's job to take care of this garden, and in the return, he and Eve were free to live there and to eat of the luscious fruits and vegetables that were growing there. God gave them only one rule to follow. They were not, N-O-T, to eat from the tree of knowledge. What a happy life these couples had. All they knew was good. God had given them only one rule to follow. As yet, there were no sickness, no wrong, no sadness in the world. Even as far back as time as Adam and Eve, the devil was working against God and the good that God wanted man to do. Satan tried to figure out a plan that would make Adam and Eve do wrong. One day, he appeared in their garden, home disguised as a serpent, and tried to persuade them to eat from the tree that God had forbidden. Did God tell you not to eat any certain tree in the garden? He kindly asked. Eve answered, we can only eat from every tree here except the tree of knowledge. And God told us not to touch its fruit or we will die. Oh, you will not die, said the devil, trying to fool her. Actually, it will make you wise, as God is, and you'll be able to understand things as he does. Foolish Eve believed that the serpent told her, and she took some of the fruit from the tree and ate it. Then she gave some to Adam, and he ate it. And so immediately they knew that they were wrong and been trying to hide from God. Of course, Adam and Eve were not able to hide from God, for he always knows about everything we do. It made him very angry to think that Adam and Eve had disobeyed the only rule that had been given them. He was disappointed that they had believed the devil instead of him. He was so upset that he sent them away from the garden. He told them that they would have to work very hard, that they would have trouble and sickness, and that one day they would die. If only this first couple had chosen to do right instead of wrong, this terrible thing might have ever come into the world. Even though God had punished Adam and Eve, he still loved his creation, and he promised them that someday he will save mankind. We know that he did this when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world. Through him, God forgave men for the wrong they have done. So I just want to talk to you about God allowed things to happen. See, God knows our flesh. And see, the serpent went after Eve. The serpent didn't go after Adam. Satan knows to bother you. And what do you have that's so potent that Satan even wants? Why doesn't he bother the bag lady? What do those people have in the penitentiary that Satan wanted? I mean, were they serving God before they got there? Were they going to be great missionaries, great preachers, excellent evangelists, selling God's material? What do you have that Satan wants that keep you away from him? What do you have that keeps you going back to drinking and doing drugs, buying prostitutes, being late for church every time the door is open? But when the club scene is open, you're there before the manager's there. You didn't try to partner with him. This is why God allowed it to happen. So he's going to allow you to fall into that trap because he chose you and he called you, just like he called Aaron. Yeah. He sees every little thing that we're doing. So he's going to allow him to get you until you can make an intelligent decision and say, God, help me. You don't have to go back there. You know, that's a bankruptcy going on. You'll be in the hospital for 9 days. And you know she has some kind of disease in her body because she's been with your cousin and your 12 uncles. But underneath the blood of Jesus, the person who died on the cross for our sin, put those nails in his hand, and the blood came crushing out. He did that for me. He did that for you. That's how special you are. So you're not special to Satan. He did nothing special for you. Do you realize it? Are you realizing it? We need to love each and every one. Not to you. And once a woman is devoured, she goes after the man. Then there goes our earth. What's right is going to be wrong. What's wrong is going to be right. You're not going to leave anything but for your children's children. You can do better than that. And Satan knows that attacking you. And he'll leave you alone for 7 years. He might leave you alone for 17 years. And there comes the great flood. Are you prepared? Is your house in order? And I don't mean we're just putting wood on your house or being able to go to another state or another country because a physical storm has come. I mean a spiritual storm has come. Are you staying prayed up? We cannot use that excuse of what Adam and Eve had did. God just wanted to show us what will happen if we obey him or disobey him. So he put it in writing. So we know better, so that we can do better. And he said that you would not die. But God said, you won't die. Don't put a question mark, but God has put a period. If God says something, that's it. See, Satan was up there in the heavens of the heavens. We can get there too. But only God says something's wrong. God created this, and God put your parents together. Jesus Christ does not even know when God is coming back. And you will not really understand things like God does. You have a great understanding. You'll be connected with him. But his thinking is unlike our thinking. You can be 17 years old and be very outgrowable for going to the business. God said, no, I'm going to wait until you're 55 or 60 years old. And I'm singing to the Olympics with people that are 25 years and younger than you, and you're going to be first place. Must be sure of yourself in your life. You never have no problems with no finances, no people, no prejudice, no sexism, no sex. Because you're going to have a hedge of protection over you. And God's not going to remove it. He's going to have to go and get permission to take it from you. The tempter won't even tempt you when you know whom you are with God. We know that he did this when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world. And they were trying to hide from God. But he sacrificed his son for us. Now, we're not to do as the pagans do in the book of Matthew. They speak of how we're to pray out loud. God wants to bless us openly, but we praise him privately. We're not hiding from him, praying alone. He is like that infamous. When we do our sins, he does see it. When we do our sins, we know Satan is the author of that, but we have that self-control to go somewhere else and to pray for God and the highest high of the heavens, okay? To reach there, like Enoch prayed. Because in the beginning, God created this earth. And he allowed it to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. You can do that every year for the next 20 years out your life. You would never really have a home. You have one on the inside of you. What are you doing with that house on the inside of you? Are you married with them? Or are you living with them? Keep that purity so you can be able to receive what God is saying to you. In the book of Leviticus, it speaks on that, what we should eat. It's going to happen. We all have got our butts. God knows this. He put that in us to keep us closer to him. And that stronghold, you know, that stronghold has been there not just since you've been born, not just since your grandmother's been born. You got to get down in the roots. And yes, you can. Until snot comes out. You can take 15 minutes. You can take 30 minutes a day. You can break it up and take 5 minutes and do it whatever hour for the next 5 hours. Whatever it takes. Because God knows what's going to come again. And you just continue on praying for them. You continue on staying in God's perfect ground. Because God knows that Satan is going to attack you. God knows, and he sees your heart. He sees that you are calling out to him. You listen to him in your car. You make excuses just to listen to ministers, just to get away from the crowd. Because a lot of people sometimes can be a lot of problems and a bunch of subtractors. God says to bow down and worship him. Love him more than the sin that you have. And, you know, God did something to make sure that Adam and Eve wouldn't go return back to the garden. He blessed her with children. God's going to bless you with children. God's going to bless you with a lot of things. That's not taking and burying. He probably knows that you don't have the inclination of what to do with it, that the wisdom, the guidance in that direction of what to do with it. But are you praying to know? Are you praying to find out what to do with it? Are you praying to God and say, I don't know? Don't take it and bury it higher, because he has much more for you. God says that I created you. He's saying I created that graduate of PhD. And God will bless you at any age. The blessings of Abraham belong to us all. Just because that Caucasian man is 6'4", he has a PhD in quantum physics, you can get it also. You can be the first in your family. Yes, you can. You got to separate yourself from them. God called you out. He said, leave your mom, leave your sister. You probably have to leave your kids. I mean, I want you out. Nobody. I called you. Abraham, I called you. I want to turn nobody into a pillar of salt to let you know that I called you. So what you going to do now? You had been in that world. You saw what it was all about. But you see the beauty that God had. You see how he made the daylight and he made it the night. You see how he made the rivers, just the beauty of it. You see the trees that he created. You can't even go around cutting down trees. It's a law against it. It's a law against it for a reason. And God put that there for nature, for a peace of mind. That's God. God created you not to die. God didn't create you to be out there and the weather is 95 degrees outside, to be in the penitentiary, on the squad, with an Aggie committing crime. God created that mind. You got to start all over by yourself from first grade to the fifth grade. He's in the business of multiplication. Now, if he's multiplying things in your life, God don't have to add. He can multiply. He can have things that happen expeditiously. He might put you online. Set you up with a toy on. You're one person away. You're one prayer away. But it's going to be God's way or no way at all. He wants to see you doing four more greater things than even your mentors do. He's setting you around the people. He's setting you all up. Just be patient. Be consistent in reading the Bible. Be consistent in going to church. Be consistent with your prayer life. Be consistent with the spiritual things that you see. Who you allow in your ear? It doesn't line up with the Bible, from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. It's nothing like God. And God's going to bless you, and the blessing is going to come from you don't know where. It's from the heavens of the heavens. It is from God. And you're going to be singing praises, ain't God good? People don't want to hear about a testimony. They want to see one. Because a set of lips can tell you anything. So, I just want to talk to you about God. And I need the blood of Jesus. This little message will be a blessing in your life. It's in the beginning. God bless us, okay? Even if you did fault there, okay, God's got something else lined up for you. You realize that you stumbled and you hurt yourself there. You don't want to do it anymore. A lot of times you don't know what you miss until the well runs dry anyway. But gravitate back to the book of Matthew. Before you take the speck out of my eye and the faults that I have done, look at the specks in your own eye, okay, in the book of chapter 7. Let us not fault each other. We all have got our sins. We all have come short of the glory of God. It's more a crime done with a pen than when it's done with a gun. More sins, more mission than anything else. That's why the topless bars, the porn industry is a multi-billion dollar industry. But we can turn it around and give it to God's kingdom. Hallelujah. Let's praise God. And thank God for this earth, for the trees, for the oxygen that we breathe. We're not in the hospital. We're not bankrupt. We have private transportation. You can go to the grocery store and get what you want to get. You are blessed. You are beautiful. You are healthy. You are prosperous. You are a multi-millionaire going to a billionaire status underneath the blood of Jesus, using it in God's kingdom and reaching back and helping others.
reaching back and helping other ministries, not looking at gender, not looking at the race, looking at the love that you have for him. And let no evil rise up against you in Jesus' name. Be blessed.